Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everyone. What a joy it is to see you. Thank God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Mark. And I certainly honor the presence of Jesus in this place. I thank God for just this tremendous expression of His Spirit that is here right now. And thank the Lord for your beloved Pastor Mark and Pastor Josh and all of the team, all of the elders and leaders who are serving today. They have truly made me feel welcome here in an abundant way, even from the ushers and the greeters, everyone just making me feel right at home. And I'm grateful. I was sitting there. I get tickled. Churches have green rooms now. And you all have a green room. And I was sitting there because I typically speak multiple services in succession to one another. I drink water, a lot of water, and I drink room temperature water. And what touched me is that not only did y'all have room temperature water, but you had the good kind. This was not the select. This was the good water. It was so much of that fancy Aquavina water, I couldn't get enough in my pocket. I was just so thankful. So I praise the Lord for you all. I really do. I love your pastor, Pastor Perry, and his beloved wife. He and his wife have been dear to my wife and I for many years. And in fact, our wives have had a chance to share in ministry together. I think even since I've been here, my wife came and ministered here to the ladies. And so it's just a blessing to be with family. We are family. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Lean on someone next to you and just put a big smile and tell them, I'm so happy to see you. I don't know what to do. Go ahead and tell them, I'm so happy. And some of you didn't move. Some of you just kind of look straight ahead, but before it's over with, I'm coming right down that way. Praise the Lord. So we thank God for you. Let's pray, and let's get into the word of the Lord. Father, thank you for this, your beloved and my dear ones that have gathered here. I am amongst, indeed, brothers and sisters, and I'm touched and I'm honored. Would you now, Lord, give us clarity of thought, continuity of thinking, accuracy of the text? Help your servant to teach in such a way that even a child would be able to embrace the powerful truth and revelation that is given to us through Scripture. We love you and we bless you and give you all the adoration, exaltation. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. If you'll open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 2, I want to talk to you about the one accord blessing. The one accord blessing. What happens when God's people are in one accord, where there's unity, where there's togetherness, where we share together? How does God respond? What does God do where there's a one accord blessing? This scripture begins here in verse 1 of Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, or in the Hebrew, it is referred to as Shavuot. Shavuot. It is, in the Hebrew, one of three major festivals. There are many festivals, but it is one of three major festivals, Shavuot. It was considered to be the harvest festival. The harvest festival took place, it literally would begin 2 days after the Passover. 2 days after Passover, well, excuse me, 2 days to 50 days total, 52 days after Passover, you would have Shavuot that would begin. It was to be celebrated as to remember God is the God of the harvest. 52 days after Passover, God is the God of the harvest. The Orthodox Jews would denote that Shavuot was to be commemorating also not only the harvest, but also it was to reflect upon the Torah. The Torah, the writings of Moses. And if you were to go into Orthodox synagogues today or this weekend, there is Shavuot that is being celebrated or commemorated by the reading of the Torah all night long. The Torah is being read. Wouldn't that be fascinating to gather into this place and we just read the word all night? Just read the word. Just read it out loud all night long. Just pass the mic and we just read. Just read. That is the idea of Shavuot. Here, we know Shavuot as Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. We know it as Pentecost. Today, the very day that we're in, this very moment, is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. This is Pentecost Sunday, where it reflects upon what is happening in this text. Let's continue to read. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Did you catch that? They were all together in one place. Not merely they were in one place, but while they were in one place, they were all together. See, it is possible to be in a similar locale, the same room with a bunch of folks. It's possible to do that and still not be together. Here, they're not only in one place, but they're together. And then he goes on to say, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled. Everyone say all filled. Yeah, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues that the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled and began to speak and proclaim praises to God. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 4. And watch this, if you will. This is subsequent to what we just read. Subsequent to the experience we just read, now we find this church in its infant stage, moving and manifesting some powerful things in their midst. In Acts 4, beginning here at verse 32, now the number of those who believe were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him or to her were their own, but they had everything in common. No one said that this is mine only, but they shared everything. I was sharing in the last service, I am from as a child, we were raised the first 10 years of my life in an area, a community known as Del Paso Heights. If you're from that, we call it DPH. DPH. And I was attending a funeral just a couple of weeks ago in which I went back into my old neighborhood, and there were all of these people at the funeral for a young lady who was like a sister to me, that had transitioned to go be with the Lord. And we packed out this little church in the middle of Del Paso Heights. And I was thinking as I watched all of these people, all of these faces that were in the room, I said, I can remember how as children, No one claimed anything as their own. We always looked out for one another. Neighbors, my parents would literally go to the grocery store, and if chickens back then were two for $1.49, they'd pick up four. Two for us and two for Miss Brown across the street, or Miss Jackson on the left. We would share packets of Kool-Aid. You see, if we went shopping, you know, we didn't, if there was a sale going on, we didn't even think about it. We didn't have cell phones. We just, wherever we were, we would pick up, this dress would look good on Miss Williams. So we just pick it up and say, girl, pay me back when you want to. See, that's how we thought. Whenever we'd go out looking out for one another. Wouldn't it be something if the church was like that today? Wouldn't it be something if we were so connected to one another that when we see someone and they walk in and they don't necessarily dress the nicest and they don't have the nicest of outfits, instead of being critical of them, we go out and bless them. See, they come walking down the aisle and you look at them and like, And instead of us going into our closet and saying, I'm going to get a little blouse for her or a little jacket for that young man, what would happen if we were like that? I believe that would be so powerful. Come on, just practice that. Lean on somebody next to you and say, come on, tell them what's yours is mine. And what's mine is mine. Look at the text. They were full. The number of believers were of one heart and one soul. And no one said that any of the things that belong to me are just my own. But they had everything in common. Oh, but I love this verse. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon each and every one of them. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each one who had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, one who is the of the tribe of worshipers, the priests, one of the tribes that denotes those who are the worshipers, the encourager, a native of Cyprus. He sold a field that belonged to him, and he brought the money, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. So far, the reading of God's word. The one accord blessing. Our learning objectives are as follows for the few moments that I have. Number one, we want to examine the initial empowerment of the church on the day of Pentecost and the significance of the text and its account today. Number two, we want to give examples of counter accord measures, or that which represents discord. That maligns the community of faith, the church. Thirdly, we want to give examples of building togetherness within the church. What does it look like when God's church is moving as one? And then last, we want to state the outcomes and corresponding results of a unified community. What are some significant outcomes that take place? We start by understanding the fact that Indeed, on the day of Pentecost, the people were of one accord in one place, and God, through his Son Jesus, sent the power of the Holy Spirit that filled the house. I am always, always somewhat amused by how many congregations and churches no longer want to talk about the Holy Spirit. It is amazing to me that there's conversation on so many levels and so many things, even to the extent I've heard people talk about how to grow the church and how to build the church and how to expand the church. And in the midst of the conversation, there's never once any discussion about the person of the Holy Spirit. There are those who have forgotten that the Holy Spirit, who is sent through Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, has been sent to empower the believer. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. Everybody. Can I help you with this? The power of the Holy Spirit is not, hear me, is not an option for the believer. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not just something we just say, well, you know, I love Jesus. I love God. That's all that counts. No, babe, you need the ministry of the Holy Spirit operating in your life every single day. And let me help some of us, because some of us get real happy when we talk about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit does not come merely to make you shout and dance and fall out and come back to consciousness. The Holy Spirit comes to give you authority. The Holy Spirit comes to minister the presence of Jesus in the midst. Can I say something to you, Harvest Church? I believe I'm in the right church today. Don't ever be afraid. Don't ever be ashamed to call yourself people that are spirit-filled, spirit-led, and spirit-driven. You have the Holy Spirit who is manifesting himself in this place. And I emphasize he, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. I grew up in old Pentecost, and we used to sing a song, and as I was growing up, we'd always hear this song, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. There's something about the Holy Ghost I cannot explain, but I got it. It wasn't until years later I found out the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person. He walks with me. He talks with me. He lives in me. He ministers to me. He shares with me the goodness of God. The Holy Spirit is God himself, manifested through his church. That's why Pentecost Sunday, this is an important day for us. We think back on this, but the Holy Spirit also calls us into a place of unity and togetherness. The Holy Spirit comes to remind us that when we come together like this, like we are this very moment, something powerful can happen. Something awesome can take place in this room. There are three, I call them unity killers. There are three things that can kill oneness or accordness in the church. Let me give you the first one. Real simple. Real simple. There's nothing I'm going to share with you today that you're going to go, I don't have a clue what he was talking about. See? I'm coming right up this section right here, right over in this section right here. You're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Number one, the first thing that can kill oneness or unity within a church and within our lives, real simple, is gossip. Just straight up gossip. It's where you just run your mouth and talk about stuff that has nothing to do with you. It can kill unity. It can kill unity in every aspect of ministry. It can destroy a choir. It can destroy the ushers. It can destroy every aspect of ministry. It can destroy a children's ministry. Where there is gossip, where there's somebody talking about someone else, it can kill unity. Let me tell you, I've been on the firsthand other side of gossip. I remember when I started pastoring some 27 years ago, and we had just planted the Center of Praise, and I was naive. I was naive. I thought everybody, when you go into ministry, loves you. I thought everybody loves you because you're doing something for Jesus. So I thought everyone just loves you. I wasn't married at the time. I didn't get married until 5 years after I pastored. 5 years into the ministry of pastoring is when I met my wife and we got married. So I was not married. I did not have any children. I was doing just ministry, starting the church and what have you. And I'll never forget going into a barbershop right there in DPH, Del Paso Heights. And I got in there and was getting my hair cut. And I was looking at two guys that were sitting across from me while I was getting my hair cut. You know, in the barbershop, they talk. They talk about everything. And so I'm sitting there, and I didn't know too many of the people in that barbershop that particular day. But as I'm sitting there, and obviously they didn't know who I was either, so I'm sitting and getting my hair cut, and I heard this conversation going on between two guys that were sitting across from me. And if I'm not careful, even to this day, I have to put a guard on my ears because my ears will perk up like Spock on Star Trek to hear juicy news. I have to really tell myself, watch yourself. And I'm leaning forward listening to this conversation. I mean, they were going at it. And they were talking about, yeah, there's this preacher in town, and y'all, it's a mess. And he was telling another guy, it's a hot mess. It's just a hot mess. And the more he said mess, the further I leaned in. You understand what I'm saying? He said, it's a hot mess. And he said, yeah, the man has divorced his wife. And his wife is fighting for the kids. And they say the church is splitting and dividing up. And I'm leaning all the way. And I'm thinking to myself, who is this? Drop a name. Tell me, somebody, what's going on? Drop a name. And I'm leaning forward. And then finally, the one guy says to the other guy, he says, what's his name? What's the preacher's name? And the guy says, Parnell Lovelace. Now, the problem was, I was not married, had never been married, had no children, and yet there was a full conversation going on about me. I didn't realize that in my obedience to God, it was causing the enemy to be so mad at me as to start a lie on me. See, and I have to admit, flesh rose up. Flesh rose up. I was sitting in that chair, and when he said my name, I moved so fast, I almost messed my line up. You understand what I'm saying? I moved fast, y'all. And the barber knew who I was, and he just put his hand on my shoulder just to kind of hold me there. Is this to say, don't move. Just stay right here. Don't you move. And I never moved. I had to say, and the Lord taught me this probably about 2-3 hours later after I calmed down and had a Gunther's ice cream on it. After I calmed down, the Lord said, be thankful that what they were gossiping about was a lie. Be thankful. You ain't got to run your blood pressure up on it. You ain't got to threaten nobody. You ain't got to stand outside their house and make eyes at them. All you have to do is stay obedient to me. And gossip will be just that. It will be gossip. But if we allow it to creep into the house of God, beloved, it will stifle the work of Jesus in us. It will stop us from moving in the things that God wants us to move into. And some of you say, well, I don't gossip. I don't have that many people I have a conversation with. I don't gossip. But you have to also guard what goes into your ears and before your eyes. Just because you have 4,000 Facebook friends does not mean they're all your friends. You only know 3 of them. And you cannot repeat everything that your ears here. You have to stop and say, Lord, do not allow me to carry a tail. A dog that will bring a bone will carry a bone. So when people come to me and they say things, did you hear? I have to go immediately to a place because I want God to move in my life where I have to shut it down. I have to say, I'm not your trash can. Don't bring the trash to me. Shut it down. Come on, lean on somebody next to you and say, shut it down, shut it down, shut it down. I don't know what's going on. I don't know who's doing, saying what, but shut it down. If it's not lifting someone, if it's not allowing someone to be edified, if it's not speaking words that's going to build them up, I don't want it to come up out of my mouth. I've got too much I want God to do in my life. There's too much he wants to do here in Harvest for gossip to carry out and cause disunity. Here's another killer. It's presumption. Presumption. Something else that will stop unity in the church is not only gossip, but when we presume things. That's when you look at someone and you can see the blessings of God upon their life, and you presume that either, you know, they've got the blessings on their life, and we want what they have, and we think we want that they have, and we'll see them confident in who they are, and we'll look at them and we'll say, who do they think they are? They think they're all that. We make presumptions about people. There are people who make presumptions about me. There are people who make, they don't know me, but they make presumptions about me. They'll see me and they'll say, you know, he thinks he's all that in a bag of chips. He thinks he's all of that. Look at him standing there on the stage with them gold rim glasses. Look at him. He just thinks he's something. He just thinks he's somebody. Well, babe, I've learned a long time ago, I refuse to apologize for what the Lord is doing and blessing in my life. I can't go back to where I came from when I had no confidence, when I couldn't even look you in the eye and I used to stutter when I opened up my mouth. When the Holy Spirit came into me, he set my tongue free. He made me feel good about who I am in him. Like sis was saying, I am a child of God. And I refuse to come down to a level that you feel comfortable. A place of bondage and confusion that will make you feel you have rulership over me. I know who I am in God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So make no presumptions. Don't look at a person based upon what you see from the outward appearance and make presumptions about them, because you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what it took for them to walk in what they're walking in right now. You only see the outward stuff, but you don't know the stuff that God had to do in my heart, in my character, in my mind. There's some things I've had to go. There's some pain that I had to experience in order to walk in the blessing that I'm walking in right now. So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted when you see the new car drive in the parking lot. I got to pay the payments. Don't get it twisted. Don't get confused when you see me coming in here, and despite the attack that is going on in my life, I refuse to sit here with my arms crossed and my eyes rolling. I will bless God. I will praise God. Hallelujah. I was looking at a couple of brothers and sisters standing on this side of the room, and they didn't care. I mean, they just came in praise and worship. It was like the last service, too, and they were just. They didn't care. A couple of us were rolling our eyes over there. Why don't they sit down? Because you don't know what I've been through. If you've gone through what I have faced in my life, you'd be dancing worse than what I'm dancing. You'd be running all over this place if you knew not just what I've been through, but what God is doing in my life right now, how he's fixing me, cleansing me, washing me. My God. It's a wonderful thing to be set free. It's a wonderful thing not to be bound by the adversary any longer. It's a wonderful thing when addictions are broken off of your life. It's a wonderful thing when light comes where there was once darkness. Come on, tap somebody, say, leave me alone. I got to give God praise. I got to praise him. I've got to bless him. I've got to lift him up. Don't make any presumptions. Don't make any presumptions. Here's another killer. Not only will we find gossip and presumption being a killer, but isolation will stop unity when we isolate ourselves. All by myself. Don't allow the enemy to separate you. Don't allow the enemy to pull you out from the family. Don't let them separate you from the pack. You stay close to the people of God despite whatever attack you are facing. Don't make allow the enemy to make you feel you're in this thing alone. In the church, that's why it's so important. A church this size, you can't sit back and just assume, well, the church is just so big. It's just so big. I didn't know anybody. And, you know, nobody speaks to me. And it's just... Make yourself known. Don't hide out. Ask God to touch you in such a way that you're bold and you join a life group. Go to life group and tell them your name. You know? And get involved in ministry. Do something, but don't sit and be isolated with the blinds drawn and your phone on caller ID and you don't allow yourself to connect with others. That's the way the adversary wins. It's making you feel like you're by yourself. He wants to separate us. But let me give you this. There are three unity builders, things that build our unity. Let me give them to you quickly. Number one, very quickly, very easy, prayer. Prayer. Come on, tap somebody. Say, you pray for me and I'm praying for you. Come on, tell them. Pray for me and I'm praying for you. I don't even have to know your name, but I'm still praying for you. This last service, I was getting ready to walk out the door, and there's a sister that was here, Sister Pearl, and she grabbed me, and that woman grabbed a hold of me and started praying over me and praying in her prayer language. I almost hit the floor. You understand what I'm saying? I thought I wasn't going to make it into this next service. You ain't been prayed for until Sister Pearl prays for you. She was sitting there. There was a line of folk trying to speak to me, and she was like, I know they standing behind here, but you getting this prayer up on you today. Man, that encouraged me. We have to pray for one another and encourage one another. You don't have to have a badge on you that has to say prayer warrior of the church. You are a part of the family, so therefore you are qualified to pray for me. Talk back to me, somebody. You are qualified. You don't have to, listen, you're not on the prayer team. You don't have a badge on you. But if you know how to say, Lord Jesus, touch my brother. Lord Jesus, heal my sister. I need you to pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you. Not just when I'm in the building, but even as I'm driving in the car, sitting in the supermarket. Every time I see your face, I'm lifting you up in prayer. Serving one another is another way to build unity. Come on, smile at somebody and say, what can I do for you? Come on, lean on them. Come on. Nobody moved. So anyway, because you're afraid they're going to ask you to do something. But we need to serve one another in such a way that if there's a single mother that's in this room with her children, and we discern in our heart that she is raising those children by herself, we reach in our pocketbook and get $20 and $25 or $50 or whatever the Lord lays on our heart and just bless them. And you don't have to let the whole world know that you are blessing them. You ain't got to reach in and get your wallet and pull the money out. I want to bless you. Are y'all hearing me? Serving one another. And then thirdly, another thing that builds unity in the church, and you all, listen, you are blessed here. Don't miss, because you have been blessed, don't miss the opportunity of building unity through praise and through worship. I've got to close, but maybe this is a correction for some of us. Do not assume because God has blessed you with strong worship and praise in this church that you can just come and spectate.
God gives you strong worship in this house because there are great needs in this city. And when you come together and the voices are singing, when you open up your mouth, it's not just praise that's going up to God, but it's an attack that's going against the enemy. Oh, I wish I had some help here. When you put your hands together, when you open up your mouths, when you lift up your arms and glorify Jesus, it causes the adversary to be put into confusion. Some of you have been all attacked and things been happening over the last 6 months that has come against you, but I'm here to tell you, if you can just come into this house and magnify the Lord and worship Him, it will cause the adversary to consume himself. Don't take it for granted. You and I don't have the luxury to just sit there and look and say, this is nice. Wonder what key that's in. That's why she always got to sing. Why don't anybody else get to sing? The devil is a lie. God has blessed you in this house. Make sure you come together. Every time we worship God, lift up your hands, lift up your voices, clap your hands, and give God praise. Hallelujah. Come on, lean on somebody. Say, this ain't the time to be cute. Come on, say, this ain't the time to be cute. There's too many devils that have got to be destroyed. Cancer's got to be healed. Marriages have got to be delivered. Addictions have got to be broken. I need some praises that will bless the Lord at all times. And His praise will continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've been through too much to be cute this morning. I'm going through too much for you to be cute this morning. I need you to put your thank you, Jesus, with my hallelujah. I need you to put your glory with my bless His name. I need you to lift up your head, oh ye gates, and the King of glory will come in. Hallelujah. And give God praise. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Here's the outcome of a church that is united. There will be great power. There'll be great power. But not only that, did you read in the text that we read in Acts 4? Not only will there be great power, but the Bible says there was also great grace. Oftentimes we say grace is God's unmerited favor. I understand why we say that. That's a nice definition, but it's even bigger than that. God's grace is His full ability being released toward your need. I'm going to say it again. It's not just God's unmerited favor. Grace is God's fullness of His ability being released toward your need. And here it said, they didn't even just have grace, they had great grace. Come on, look at somebody. Say, God's coming after your need right now. God's coming after your need. There's nothing that's coming against you right now. God's coming after that need. He's coming after it. Great authority, great grace, and then it also, there's a release. One accord results is the releasing of God's great power, His great grace, and His encouragement. Touch a shoulder, touch a hand all over this room. And as you touch that hand and shoulder, just open your mouths wide and begin to just bless God. Just bless God. Come on, just fill this house with power. Fill this house with great grace. Come on, release encouragement in the house. Open those mouths wide. Open those mouths wide. Encouragement. Somebody has been hurting. Someone's been confused. Someone's been afraid. The last 6 months has been some of the most challenging time that people have faced. But oh, God has brought you here today to be a voice of encouragement. To come on, speak over your brother. Speak over your sister. Speak over this church. Speak over our pastor. Speak over his family. Speak over this community. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for filling this house. Thank you for filling this vessel. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Fill us up, God. Baptize us again with your power, with your anointing. Cause the adversary to be confused. Let praise erupt in this house, oh God. Let blessings erupt in this house, oh God. Let miracles be released, signs and wonders, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Satan, the Lord God rebuke you. Take your hands off of God's people. Loose your hold. In the name of Jesus, you have no authority here. This is God's house. These are God's people. This is God's daughter. This is God's son. My God, we are children of the living God. And we give you praise, oh God, now. We bless you. We exalt you. We won't take it back, oh God. We have the blessing of one accord. Give God now the highest praise you can give him. Come on, don't panic. Don't panic. Come on, give God a high praise. Out of your spirit, I'll open those mouths and bless him. Come on, open those mouths and bless him. Come on, shout to God with a voice of triumph. You ain't shouting yet. Come on and shout to God.